from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I was proudly a guest on Sal's show this morning, and I guess it went well because he is back with us. I guess it went... Could it have gone so badly that Sal would have refused the invitation to come on this show today? I guess, maybe. We would have had to have meetings first.
Hey, I was listening. I mean, I know you both. I admire you both. Sal, I respect you both.
But. Of course he was listening. It was fantasy intel. Of course Bulldog was listening.
I mean, listen, I needed a fantasy guest, so I turned to Bulldog. I mean, tomorrow I might have a tomato guest, so I'm turning to you, Bulldog. I mean, turn to show up, I mean, so I'll turn to you tomorrow for a tomato guest, Bulldog.
Happily be a tomato guest on your show anytime.
Tomato guest.
I'm happy to be tomato guy.
Yeah, I'll be tuning in for that.
I will always stand up for the tomato.
Sal, we had a nice conversation with the Bills head coach today. It was doable to be able to talk, you know, give some for him to give some perspective on his career and not just have it be about why they punted on fourth down yesterday. So I think Bulldog too enjoyed being able to sort of
go long,
relax with him almost.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I listened to, and I think, you know, I do the weekly segment with Sean on Fridays before games, and I really enjoyed the refreshing, you know, perspective you guys gave because you were able to have a little bit more, you know, a breadth of, you know, his time here and those kinds of things. On Fridays, we're kind of limited. We're talking about kind of the week that was and the week that's going to be, right? We're in the moment. Your conversation with him was really interesting, and I thought Sean was really good. And, you know, in his part, I think over the years, you know, Sean's, you know, done a really good job of kind of navigating that space a little bit differently and better in a lot of ways. With, you know, he's not going to give you everything. He's still competitive, and they're going to keep things close to the vest. But I've listened to a lot of his radio appearances or TV with national, with local, things like that. And I thought he was really, really good with you guys and Canada. It was good.
Thanks. He's got a lot to be juggling right now with all the injuries and... He told us and said to the media yesterday, new plan for preseason game number 3 because they just don't want to risk any more injuries to starting players. Maybe you've been asked this yesterday. I don't know. I wasn't here on the show, but just how do you feel about that decision?
Well, I'm all for not playing the starters anyway.
That's right.
I mean, you know, so it, unfortunately, he gets there more because of the injury situation, and you don't want that to happen and that to be the reason. But you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, and I said I would rather not see the starters out there anyway. I understand why any coach would do it. I get it. Right? I do. It doesn't mean that I, sitting here, think it's the smartest idea or want to see it, and fans don't want to see their, you know, star players get injured in any capacity. But you know, a lot of coaches believe there's value in it, and whatever way. Andy Reid does it, right? So, you know, Bill Belichick, he would play starters at certain capacities in games and preseason games. It's unfortunate they're here. They have a little less than 3 weeks before week one against the Arizona Cardinals. This is a great opportunity for some guys on the back end of the roster to really make a final impression and maybe make the roster. And it's a chance for the other guys to really kind of just start ramping up towards week one. And by the way, what's interesting to me here is, and you guys touched on this before, you used to have these multiple cutdown dates, right? Now you have the one cutdown date. The Bills were one of the teams that proposed that. So thanks to the Bills and a few other teams that actually proposed the rule change a few years ago, it's now benefiting them in a situation like this where they don't just have 75 guys, because that would be the case normally, where they'd only have like 75 guys for this game. Now they at least have 90 guys that they can play, and that really helps them here in this situation.
So what was the story today? Maybe looking at the glass half full version of this, a couple of safeties did something. Well, at least Cole Bishop did some things. Mike Edwards, I guess, was on an exercise bike, and maybe that's progress for him. You can tell us. But Cole Bishop, red non-contact, positional drills, that's a good sign.
It is, for sure. And I'll go back to what Sean said, which was, again, candid and good to you guys, which is they're still wondering, too, what else can he do? Well, how quickly can he get up to speed? Will he be just a first and second down player, just a third down player? Will he be able to do everything? But this was a really nice step. He has a couple of weeks plus now to get ready to see if he can play against the Arizona Cardinals, where they want to fit him in. It was really interesting watching him talk to coaches today. I have some video of him. I posted, I put it on the website, I put it at my social media feed as well. You know, him doing a couple of drills, and then, you know, he was with a coach one-on-one a couple of times going over things. So that was interesting just to kind of see them. You could see that they're trying to get him really up to speed as much as possible. That was very good news that Cole Bishop was back, because Damar Hamlin's out now, and he's going to be week to week. We know that Mike Edwards is still out. Yeah, being on the exercise bike is good. It wasn't like he was doing that all the time. I think maybe lately he's done a little bit more in that regard. And then Sean even said they're expecting Mike Edwards. This is yesterday now. He said that they're maybe expecting him to start doing some individual work. So that was really good. And then you had a couple other guys that returned maybe sooner than we thought. Casey Tuhill is one of them. Casey Tuhill, Sean said maybe later in the week, Casey Tuhill would be available. And then you had Javon Solomon and Austin Johnson, who were both said to be limited. But I saw them out there, and to me, they looked like they were kind of doing everything and running with their, you know, normal defensive group.
And then there's the matter of Joe Andreessen. Sal, I know I saw you tweeting about, like, really what his chances might be. It's an interesting one. A dark horse, local, just the impact, the game he had on Saturday, the risk the Bills would run to try to sneak him through to the practice squad or whatever that would be through waivers. What are all the different, those are a couple, angles here when it comes to him?
Well, Joe is in a really good spot for him, right? I mean, he has put a really nice bit of film together here. We know that from Saturday night. So, you know, he, I think, can feel really comfortable about the way he played and know that people around the league are noticing him. Heck, Brian Baldinger was tweeting about him yesterday and showing his game, right? I mean, like this guy, this isn't just, oh, cool local story. He got into a game and he made a couple of tackles. Like, he was legit playing high-level linebacker for the Buffalo Bills on Saturday night. Yes, he's a local kid. He's from Lancaster, went to the University of Buffalo. As we said yesterday, it doesn't matter if he's from North Dakota or wherever he's from. He played. He played really well. Now, the Bills have still Nicholas Morrow, who did return to practice today but did not take team reps, but he's getting a little bit better. He was doing some individual stuff. And they have Baylen Spector, who has not yet returned. So I'm going to guess that Joe Andreessen's going to get another shot here on Saturday night in some capacity, and probably a really big capacity to be able to play. And if he can back up that performance and do it again, you know, I mean, that's another notch for him as far as making this roster. I mean, guys, I think if it's wild to say, if I did a 53-man roster right now, I think I might have Joe Andreessen on it, to be quite honest with you. I think that's how well he played, and I'm looking at the roster and thinking, I don't know who I push off. Do I push off Nicholas Morrow? Do I push off Baylen Spector? I don't know if I could go that far, but it's certainly a conversation for me. Nicholas Morrow is, he's been in the league several years. He's played on three different teams. That's the kind of guy that maybe you think you can find anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Or not anywhere, anyway, I should say, somewhere. Are you willing to risk losing the high upside of a guy like Joe Andreessen, who's kind of an unknown and did what he did on Saturday night? Because what would happen is, and this is the mechanics you're talking about, Mike, if they release him a week from today, final cutdown day or any time, he is subject to waivers. Any team can just claim him. You could have all 31 other teams claim him, but whoever would have the highest priority takes him. He goes on their 53. He's no longer a Buffalo Bill. That's it. Done. Unless they were to release him at some point. And I want to remind everybody of something. The day before he came to Buffalo for his rookie tryout, OTAs, it was rookie minicamp, and they invited him. The day before that, he was at the Kansas City Chiefs for a tryout. So it's not like he went into this just getting an invite because he was a Lancaster kid. Like, he was actually thought to be drafted by some people, and he wasn't.
Yeah. Have you talked to any people about how, maybe even Andreessen himself, how that came to be? Because we talked yesterday, you and I spoke about him, and then I talked to Chris Trapasso later in the day, and his athletic profile, like Chris had tweeted that what's it called now? I'd have to go into my
score.
Yeah, the RAS score.
Relative athletic score.
Yeah, and it's so good. Like, I don't know. Is it just because he was from Lancaster and went to UB or something? Like, it just seems like the kind of guy that the NFL would have found sooner than having him be just a tryout player.
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I do know the Bills had contact with him even going back to the draft process. Like, there's a guy, like they do with a lot of guys, right? Mm-hmm. They were looking at him as well as other teams. I'm not really sure. To me, my guess is that it really did come down to that, Bulldog, which is, yeah, a lot of guys have success against that competition, against Bryant for 4 years, 5 years, and UB. Like, a lot of guys can put up numbers, but, you know, he's not the biggest, but he is very athletic, yes, and that's great. But, you know, what does it translate to when you're talking about an NFL field and going against, you know, NFL players who played in the SEC and the ACC? That shouldn't matter, but it does to people, right? I mean, it just does. It's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of guys have really done a great job coming into the NFL with his type of profile here. And I don't mean even the athletic profile. I mean just like his bio and where he's come from. By the way, that raw athletic score, I looked it up today. I tweeted about it as well. So according to Kent Lee Platt, who writes about this raw athletic score, relative athletic score, RAS, who writes at PFN 365, Joe Andreessen had a 9.36 out of a possible 10. And for what that means, in case you don't know, because I didn't realize this either, going back to 1987, as a linebacker, he ranks 185 out of 2,889 other linebackers. Pretty incredible, right? So yeah. I don't know the answer to why he didn't get drafted. I don't know the answer to why more teams, I mean, even a priority free agent, right?
Yeah.
There was no UDFA signing. He literally had to go to rookie tryouts before someone gave him a shot.
Pretty good story. He also, before transferring to UB, where he played last year, he played 4 years at Bryant University, which is in Rhode Island. So maybe he's got a look here. Joe Andreessen off a fine game against the Steelers.
Sal, can I also say, Mike, when he was at Lancaster High School, someone told me the other day he blocked six kicks his senior year. He was the Wildcat quarterback. I know that. I called a couple of his games on Time Warner Cable at the time. I called a couple of his games. He was a Wildcat quarterback. And how about this? He was a finalist for the yearly Trench Trophy for the best offensive or defensive lineman in Western New York. Like, the guy just played everywhere and did everything.
Will be cool to watch the rare preseason finale where a player, you know, maybe it's a better sign if he doesn't play, but if he does,
let's see if he can
light it up again.
Yeah.
Right. If Nicholas Morrow starts on Saturday, then maybe you can feel like Andreessen's home,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. What's today's Keon Coleman development, if there is one? What did you see from Coleman?
You know, he was asked today was more about, to me, like, not necessarily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments.
Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
So you see from him. Yeah, they practiced today. He was out there, and when Sean says they're not going to play the starters, I don't exactly know who that means, guys, to be quite honest. Right. We'll find out later in the week.
Right.
Because at wide receiver, you have a lot of guys, and some start, and some, I mean, well, just because you're not on the first play of the game doesn't mean you're not considered a starter. And, you know, I don't know exactly who's going to play and who's not. My guess is we won't see Keon Coleman because it's going to be like the guys who are really you're counting on, you're probably going to back off on them on Saturday. So to me, that would mean Keon Coleman wouldn't play. But I don't know that officially from McDermott, but I do wonder about it. The big thing for me today was from Keon. Now, I understand. I think he answered this correctly, even if he actually didn't believe it this way. But he was asked about the play in the end zone, the goal line play, and he said he absolutely should have caught it, and it was a drop. That's what he said. I asked Josh then about Keon saying that, and Josh said, listen, Keon's going to say it's a drop, and Mitch is going to say he should have put it in a better spot, right? He said it's probably a little bit of both. He'd have a little better throw. He'd have a better catch, whatever. He's also said that Mitch was playing on the bad knee at the time that no one kind of really realized until after that series. But for Keon, I think to step up as a rookie at the podium, be asked point blank about that play and said, I should have had it. It was a drop. I got to catch that ball. You know, I think is a sign of maturity.
Yeah, good. I agree with him. I think he should have had it. It wasn't perfect, but I would count it as a drop. Mike likes to do this. Imagine if he said the opposite. Imagine if he asked Keon, did you see the pass? Just like we'd be losing our mind.
Right,
we'd, we'd be lighting fires in here if he said, well, Trubisky sucks.
You mean what Stephon Diggs kind of became known for, which is putting his hands in a certain place, you know? You don't have to say it all that, but just make that little gesture.
Right.
You know, just a better ball would have been nice here. Yeah. Well, with Samuel Hurts, Al, what does that do to the scramble at wide receiver? You're talking about how to read how they might use Coleman or not use Coleman in this game. Samuel's injury makes it maybe just – This could be said for any of them, but more important that the guy be ready to go week one.
For sure. So let's just assume that the top four, and I think we all understand the top four in some particular order are Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins, are not going to play. We know Samuel has the injury anyway. And then we also know that MVS isn't going to play. Well, now you get to what does the rest of your roster look like? Tyrell Shavers becomes a guy that, are we going to see him? Probably we will, I guess, on Saturday. I mean, you know, somebody's got to play. And to me, he's been kind of the next guy. I think he probably has earned his way onto this team from what I've seen so far, the way they're treating him. But, you know, this is a big game for him. KJ Hamler, Andy Isabella, Justin Shorter, who I think is making a late run here, by the way, guys, I'll say. Damir Bird, Deion Kane, and Xavier Johnson. These are the guys we're going to see when it comes to Saturday. When it comes to the overall team and the picture at wide receiver, if you are missing Curtis Samuel for week one, I do think at least you have Khalil Shakir who can move around a little bit. He can do some things. He's not Curtis Samuel. He's not going to line up in the backfield and take, you know, handoffs and run like they might envision Samuel to do as a former running back. But at least you can move Khalil Shakir around, which doesn't kind of pigeonhole you in for everyone else, right? You could still do a lot of the things you want to do, but now Keon Coleman becomes a really even more important player as far as target share and how you want to treat that. It's also important to note here, the Bills do have two games in 5 days to start the season.
Right.
So if anyone is borderline for their game Sunday, September 8th against the Arizona Cardinals, I don't know. I mean, you might even err on the side of caution to make sure they're ready on Thursday, September 12th against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. I want to ask you this, but I'm not sure how much you can answer. But and we may have gotten into this a little bit yesterday because Samuel, to me, Mike and I were talking earlier, I feel like is, as much as the receiver room seems like sort of like Mike used the word scramble, I think, just now, you're not sure who's going to be where and who's doing what. I feel like Samuel is the one guy that I feel like doesn't have a duplicate. When he's not on the field, when like the second string offense is running, do they have somebody doing the stuff that he does with the ones, or does he kind of not have a backup?
I guess the best way to protect, you know, what I can say, can't say would be, I don't think I'll say it this way. The coaches have said no one has more on their plate other than Josh Allen, than Curtis Samuel, the quarterback. Right. Other than Josh Allen, the person on the offense with more on their plate is Curtis Samuel. So I think that's the best way to say it on what you would expect from other people.
Right. So that makes me worried that, like, I don't know, some part of the playbook, if he's not available, like, they're just going to have to put some stuff on a shelf for now if he can't play. But maybe. I don't know. That's what that sounds like to me.
I would say that's true. I mean, yeah. I think that's true with almost anybody, though, right? That if you lose. Now, granted, some part of the playbook, yeah, sure. There's probably plays designed for Keon Coleman, right? Something, mm-hmm. maybe there's some sort of pass that, you know, hey, he's really great at this. The other guys aren't. So that's something in the playbook. But, yeah, I would think that there's formations and play design that if you don't have Curtis Samuel, you're probably going to have to just say, we don't have someone necessarily can do that because these guys don't have the same skill set. Might be able to kind of replicate it in some way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. but what's the point maybe even if we're going to do that? And yeah, I would think that you'd probably just say, let's wait until he's ready to do these things.
We've got to get to backup quarterback here before we run out mm-hmm. of time. Anthony Brown, new to the Bills. 2 years ago, the Ravens went to Cincinnati in the playoffs and lost, almost won, without Lamar Jackson. Tyler Huntley started that game. The previous week, and this may have been a situation where the Ravens didn't need it, Anthony Brown started for Baltimore, also at Cincinnati. They ended up going there 2 weeks in a row and lost both games. So that's his one NFL start. It's very limited experience. Boston College, Oregon. Why this player, if you know, versus other options in free agency? Or is it maybe just a matter of getting through the week? Because with Trubisky hurt, somebody is going to need to be available to be the number two quarterback for week one. And I don't know for sure, maybe you do, if it couldn't be either Brown or Ben DiNucci.
I think it's just to get through this week as best as possible. But at least you give a guy a shot, right? You get somebody. I think this is more about circumstance than anything, guys. I mean, you have 32 teams that have 90 players. Think of all the quarterbacks that are out there. I actually did some math today because someone asked me, why don't the Bills just have five quarterbacks in their roster to, you know, and I looked, no team has five. But there are like 10 teams that have four. Yeah. That's 40 right there. And the rest of them have three, right? How many quarterbacks are out there? And, you know, it's just so you got to find somebody who's not on a team. Got to find somebody who's looking for a job. So you bring him in for a week. He learns a little bit of your offense. And then you get a look at him, so maybe later in the year, if there's something that happens, hey, he has a baseline, we brought him in, a little bit of knowledge from him, not sure exactly why they chose him versus anybody else, but, you know, he's out there. If somebody wants a guy like Ryan Tannehill, look, I'm sure money matters there. If you're bringing him in, that's more of a long-term something situation you would look at, not a 1 week. So I think that's where that goes. Now, if you have to have DiNucci possibly be the number two week one, I think that, you know, everything I hear from coming out from what they believe in Ben DiNucci, that he's really acclimated himself well. It's not ideal, but maybe that could happen. But how does that look? Do you put Mitch Trubisky on IR, then he misses 4 weeks, then DiNucci's your number two for 4 weeks? That could be it. I would tell you this, though. I know the injury is separate, and we have to worry about that and think about that. People also talk about the play of Trubisky.
Yeah.
Last year, Kyle Allen did not play very well. They still stuck with Kyle Allen. There was a lot of talk about get another backup. They didn't do that. They just said Kyle Allen's our backup.
Well, I wonder here if the injury will change that for them here because I'm not a fan of the way that Trubisky plays. I will not. I know the backup for a reason, but I just don't trust it. But I feel like they've got really two quarterback problems right now. One is get through this week, yep. And that's DiNucci and Brown. Then you've got this other situation, which is really hinges on how long they will know by, say, next Tuesday at this time, how well they will know how long Trubisky is going to miss. And then maybe they have to do something. And if it were to be a bigger thing, like to me, if they like the idea of Ryan Tannehill and feel like they don't trust DiNucci or Brown to do this job for a couple of weeks even, then that's the end of Trubisky. You go sign Ryan Tannehill and you send Trubisky on his way.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do here, too, and as you get closer to week one. Now, they do have those two IR spots. They can put somebody on IR two guys, and then they don't count. They don't have to go make the roster, and they can still miss the first 4 weeks and come back. You know, could Trubisky be a candidate for that? And if that is the case, though, then you do have to have somebody ready for 4 weeks. Could they keep three quarterbacks just in case because they want them to? I mean, then you're taking away from other numbers. And then, yeah, I think you have to look at outside. When they have final cuts a week from today, there's going to be a lot of guys in the market. There's going to be guys that they're going to be looking at, and there's going to be people that they're familiar with, and you never know. I am also wondering, just about this week, what the Panthers are doing. Dave Canales was asked about that today. He said, I'm open to playing our guys this week. He said, though, he'll look at it, though. He'll figure out if it's worth it. They had a hard practice today. So to me, it's sounding like he's just keeping them on edge to have good practices, and it won't happen. And if that's the case, then we may just see handoff after handoff after handoff, and that game lasts 2 hours on Saturday at Highmark Stadium.
Have you guys noticed what the totals have been, the scores have been in the preseason? I think I saw unders this year are 27-6 in two-plus preseason weeks. Warren Sharp did a great job, as usual, explaining that in part because of officiating.
Penalties, right.
They're not calling pass interference, defensive holding. I mean, I don't know if I want to say I hope that's just a preseason thing. They're not the most exciting things, flags, but that seems like a game changer so far this year if it's point of emphasis.
Didn't he say like first downs from penalties this preseason are down like 30% or something?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
There go your points. Right. It's not just the obvious because teams rest their best players, but officiating has something to do with it. You wouldn't be surprised that Warren was able to sort of sniff that out.
Right.
Sal, are you on tonight if you need me? Or
do you know what, guys? Tonight, we are headed out to the Avril Lavigne concert at Darien Lake.
All right. The whole family?
Yes, with some friends, yes.
Awesome. You might see Joe.
Joe's going too?
I believe so.
All right.
All right, maybe so. I'll see Joe out there.
Giddy up. Enjoy the concert. Good deal, Sal. Thank you.
You got it.
All right,
guys.
No tomato talk tonight then, I guess, with Sal. All right. Sal's appearance with us is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I bet a lot of people with their food hang-ups like this, it is a texture thing. Your son with oranges.
Yeah.
The tomato, like biting into a tomato. Which you're not saying to do that. You're cutting it up first.
Yeah, I would.
But still, outer film, the skin. You might say, you might call it the skin of the tomato.
Sure,
that's a hard no.
I got no problem with it.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay, what should the Bills do about QB2? This is always a good one to talk about, but the last few years have been kind of like set.
Yep.
Maybe it's not so set right now. 803-0550, that's one way to go here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after sports here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.